So the big story today, evidently Mueller's not happy about Barr's interpretation of the report. That would have been something nice to know. Oh, I don't know. Before the big press conference, you know, how this is being spun is Mueller put a letter to Barr saying he's not thrilled, wasn't happy. And you go, how about coming out and being an American patriot and speaking up? How about Congress? How about the Democrats in Congress putting him in the chair and having a hearing? How about not waiting all of this time and allowing Trump and his acolytes to run around and scream, no collusion, no obstruction, total exoneration? How about actually doing something? Just kind of a thought. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the big news of the day, I've asked our good friend Robert Wiener to come talk with us, White House correspondent, radio, TV commentator, also national op-ed columnist. Robert, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, it's a pleasure always to be on your show. You're so well-tuned to labor and working families issues. You're the best in the country. Thank you.
Appreciate that. But let's get to this Mueller report. Let's get to evidently he's not thrilled with Barr.
All right,
no
kidding.
Know
that my background includes having been a spokesman for 6 years of the House Government Reform, now called Government Operations, now called Reform Committee, and also Judiciary Committee. So I've had both hats on this one, in addition to the White House drug spokesman.
Okay, well, walk me through this, because, you know, I'm looking at it, and again, Barr comes out with this cliff note version of the Mueller report, which is heavily skewed to make Trump look completely innocent, so that they can go and have their talking points. And Mueller says nothing publicly. We find out nothing publicly for, what, a couple of weeks now?
Even though Mueller asked that it be released simultaneously with his conclusions, with Mueller's conclusions and Mueller's summaries. So Barr failed to, this is the Washington Post tonight, capture the context, nature, and substance of this office work and conclusions. He had those conclusions from Mueller 2 weeks before he testified in front of the Senate and said, I don't know if Mueller agreed with my conclusions. He knew damn well. So Barr is nothing but a cover-up. You know, the last attorney general, Rick, who covered up in this context, you know what it was? It was John Mitchell, and he went to jail. So that's where this could go. And so Barr is in justifiably, as of course Trump is, all your listeners know that, in a heap of lying trouble for perjury.
No, and, look. But here's the thing. We got a president who, according to the Washington Post, has already told us 10,000 lies.
Right.
What are a couple more? I mean, again, what's taken the Democrats so damn long to do something? You know, I said as soon as they...
Correct.
As soon as Barr came out with that four-page thing, there should have been hearings that minute on that thing. They should have had press conferences. They should have been out in front, and they should have been pushing this. Because, look, every day that they wait, every moment that they dither, the right-wing echo chamber is going to keep on the same talking point. No collusion, no obstruction, totally exonerated. Because nobody's going to read the 448-page report, Bob, that tells there were crimes, lots of them. There were lies. There was collusion. There was obstruction. There was all of that stuff.
That's right. The 14 areas of concern, because Mueller felt that because of the justice policy, which isn't justified, but the policy of you can't indict a sitting president, so he had to do it as areas of concern. Every one of those 14 areas of concerns would be called an indictment count. Every one of them. And so that's the deal. Of course Trump is guilty of obstruction. Here's something else which your listeners may not know about, because it's all just coming out now. Mueller told Nadler he's willing to testify, but DOJ is blocking the date. And Rachel Maddow just came out now that that's out there and said that won't last long. So Mueller will be testifying in front of the House or the Senate or both. You know, if it's in front of the Senate, you got Lindsey Graham as something of a filter, but the Senate's better than the House used to be under the Republicans. You know, it's kind of bipartisan, sort of semi-quasi-bipartisan in the Senate, so that'll be okay. But, you know, in front of Nadler, it would be spectacular, and I think those are going to happen.
No, they have to happen. Look, in order for us to move on from this, and I've had people tell me, you know, Rick, it's over. You guys lost. Get over it. There's no obstruction, no collusion, none of that.
Yeah.
I'm going, no, because understand, if you read the report, there are lots. Even Bill Barr himself says there's 10 instances of obstruction. He just didn't think it was that important.
Areas of concern, not 10 pieces of obstruction. Barr won't say there's obstruction, but Mueller absolutely, when he said, "You mischaracterized my report," I didn't say that stuff. And he was extremely dissatisfied with it, and he asked Barr to release the summaries that Mueller himself had done, and Barr wouldn't do it, saying, we're not going to do it piecemeal. Well, what the H was his four-page letter, but a piecemeal of S in the rest of the
64 list. Words from the Mueller report. 64 words. That's all we got.
So there's nothing but this guy being a puppet of cover-up. That's all Barr is now. I actually thought he would be a little better. I thought he actually had some integrity.
Really?
In the process.
Really,
in the
Bob?
Beginning.
Come on. This is the guy who covered up Iran-Contra. Come on.
Right. I know. We learned that, and now we know. That's exactly right. So there's no hope there, but you know what the hope is, Rick? Let's put our listeners in a higher note.
Hit me.
We just beat Trump in the congressional elections. That's why there was a 40-seat flip. The American people and our listeners aren't stupid. They are brilliant, and they knew what was going on. And Pennsylvania, of course, is one of the keys to the whole thing. Biden was amazing. He showed the energy that everybody was afraid he didn't have, and now that he's done that, he's jacked up to 38%, dominating the field by 20 points now with between his... All right, so there's some hope there, number one, and that will continue into the presidential election, where there this time will not be that 10-point Comey flip of the Giuliani-based FBI people that then persuaded Comey to do the to do this quote-unquote reinvestigation announcement of Hillary 10 days before the election. I wrote in the Des Moines Register that Comey vote, I called it, would not exist in the off-year election, and it will not exist in the presidential election. 1-for-2 so far.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, at the end of it, I'm hoping for the same turnout we had this time in 2020. And look, I want to beat him at the ballot box, but I also believe in the rule of law and of justice.
Course.
And I believe that this guy has proven time and time again that he doesn't care about the rule of law. Rules don't apply to him. I look at the fact that he's making tons of money off of the office. His family's making tons of money off of the office. And, you know, as I said on Inauguration Day, what we're going to see is the largest kleptocracy in the history of this country, and it's boring out right in front of us.
Breaking news on that too, Rick. Breaking news at 8:51 p.m. tonight, 4:30:29. Foreign emoluments, victory for the Constitution in holding Trump accountable. Foreign emoluments. Judge Emmett Sullivan of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia has denied in full President Trump's motion to dismiss the challenge by 200 members of the Senate and House to hold him accountable for the Constitution's Foreign Emoluments Clause. Translation, the Trump Hotel and all of his foreign buddies and Trump doing nothing but making money here in Russia and everywhere else around the world, and that's all he wants to do is make money for his family, going to be outed because this case is legal and Trump tried to block it.
But at the end of the day, isn't that part of the MO? I mean, isn't part of the MO that of this president, not just as president, but in his businesses, to tie things up in the court, to run out the clock, to constantly maneuver in the courts, to stall and delay? I mean, isn't that part of the MO?
Well, you can try all of that. We have this little thing called the scheduled election in November of 2020.
Yeah, I get that. But again, legally, I fear he's not going to be held accountable because guess what? One out of every five federal judges has been appointed by Trump. You've got two Supreme Court justices. You know, the fact that he said that, you know, if an impeachment was going to happen, he'd ask the Supreme Court to intervene. And you go, explain that to me. Explain to how you as president are going to turn to the Supreme Court and say, hey, stop those Democrats from holding me accountable.
It can't happen. And don't forget, Nixon's appointees even voted against him in the 8-0 ruling with one who had the integrity to recuse. So 8-0 ruling on he must provide the tapes, which was the beginning of the end for Nixon. That's the Supreme Court, you know, some of his people, I mean, Clarence Thomas is a little puppet, you know, that he'll do whatever. And Kavanaugh will probably do whatever. But and Clarence Thomas. So we may be left with a 6-3, but I think we're going in there in terms of you can't deny oversight of the Congress. It's in the law. It's in the Constitution. Just because you want to do the Republicans and not the Democrats. And then you can't say it's partisan. I mean, the founding fathers kind of had it in mind that we'd have a political a process in this country, and, right. and various parties will be in charge one time or another. That doesn't mean the Congress can't do its oversight, and the president can just say, we're not going to pay any attention to the checks and balances. That is the height of, and by the way, every time he does that, it's another count of impeachment. I think that, you know, Pelosi and Trump, are, Rick, are playing a game of chess. Trump wants to bait the impeachment, but it's like Gary Hart. You know, he wanted to bait the press, and then they found him out, and then they kicked him out from running for president. So this is going to backfire dramatically because that impeachment is going to be so well-founded on every one of these obstructions now is another count on impeachment.
Now, well, let me ask you this, Bob, because at the end of the day, do you think the Democrats are going to actually go there? Because, you know, there's a
they may have to. They don't want to because they know that it screws up the agenda, this little game they play today on infrastructure. I hope it works. I hope we get, you know, I wrote the piece in the Philadelphia Inquirer, Mr. President, where's your infrastructure plan?
Yeah.
And because of that, there was one of his 3 weeks of infrastructure week. You know, we've all been pushing on. But the problem is Pelosi and Schumer came in to the National Press Club, where, as you know, I'm active, and they said, if his money is going to be from tax breaks for the rich for companies, that's a no-go. We're not going there if that's what they mean by infrastructure. It's not just going to be tax breaks for the rich, another batch of them. This has to be real jobs for real people that do the projects all over the state of Pennsylvania. I had the city planner of Philadelphia come in to the National Press Club. The desperate projects needed in around that area. The Lincoln Tunnel is falling apart. You know, tiles are falling. There's infrastructure that is so desperately needed all over this country, and it's jobs. And that's got to happen. But that little game has nothing to do with the fact that we have an unconstitutional president. And by the way, let me just throw this one out. I'm with John Lewis. I think this president is not legitimate. I think his election was a fraud in terms of both Russia and obstruction and cover up and all of that and the Comey letter. I think his election was a fraud, and I don't consider him a legitimate president. So I'm on the fringe on that one, but that's what I believe.
No, look, I'm with you on it as well. But, you know, why didn't Mueller go into that? I mean, you know, in the report, they talk about the Russians getting into the Florida systems and the systems around the country, which we already knew. I mean, this is stuff that's been out there for a long time. You know, why was none of that? Why did they poo-poo away most of the things that we already knew? All of the meetings, you know, the Trump Tower meeting, the Eric Prince in the Seychelles, you know, Carter Page living in Russia, working for the campaign, all of the ties that they've got to Russian oligarchs, all of this stuff. How come that stuff wasn't, how come his tax returns weren't part of this? Why didn't they look into financials? I mean, I want to be
right,
on that committee.
All five of these bankruptcies, all five of them.
Exactly.
Were paid by Russian banks. I put a piece in the New Jersey Star-Ledger that Wilbur Ross, got to be Secretary of Commerce because he was head of a Russian bank that was one of the ones that paid off his five bankruptcies. How else did he get to be Secretary of Commerce? That's it.
Yeah.
And so the linkages were there. You're absolutely right that the Russia connections are vast. And I thought one of the great moments in American rhetorical political history was Adam Schiff with his 15 points. In the opening of the hearing about 2 weeks ago, where he says, you may not think that it's wrong that he had the meeting in the Trump Tower, all things you just ticked off. You may not think so, and he's staring at the Republicans, but it's not okay. You may think it's okay, and he went into each of those 15 and said it's not okay.
No, it's not
Adam
okay.
Schiff is, and we're bringing him over to the National Press Club. I'm going to have him speak.
Right, but here's the thing. The average American doesn't know that this stuff went on. They don't know that this is what the Mueller report says. All they've heard is no collusion, no obstruction, total exoneration.
Well, one of the most fun things, I think our listeners will love this little story, Rick, is that came out a couple of nights ago. The Steele dossier, the Trump says, the fake dossier. So a footnote that Barr forgot to redact, and it's in the report, is a Russian businessman. I forget his name, whatever his name was.
Right.
A Russian businessman who emailed Cohen, Trump's lawyer, saying, I have the tapes from the Moscow meeting during Miss Universe, and I'll protect them for you.
So there's a P-tape.
There is the tape. It's videotape. They've got them, and that's they can't unredact the unredacted. So you know, it's there. It's in the report. It's in the Mueller report, and Rachel made a big thing of it about 4 nights ago.
Yeah, I don't think Trump cares about that at all. I mean,
he does. He lied to Comey. He said he didn't have time to do it, and it turns out he had 2 days there. So that nobody cares about. I mean, I don't care about Robert Kraft's sex life, but what I care about with Mueller, with Trump is that's the compromise.
Yeah.
That and his finances and the tripling of the money for all of his real estate in Florida that Russia paid him. You know, that's the compromise. That those two in their private meetings that they won't let anybody else into, that's what the Russians have on Trump.
No, and again, this is stuff that has to be out. Why I keep saying we have to have these hearings. And I'm hoping that they continue to push for his tax returns. It's insane to me that they haven't already been gotten, and it should have been part of Mueller's investigation. But let me ask you, step back for a second.
It may be. You know, Richie Neal, who's chairman of the Ways and Means, lifetime friend, Rick. We were in Young Democrats in Western Massachusetts together when he was, before he was mayor, you know, and I was the vice president of the Young Democrats of Western Mass, and Richie was active in the Young Democrats. And he's the guy now who's got the power and is going after the tax returns. We're entitled to those. I think the courts will absolutely support that.
But again, I come back to the Mueller part of this. And I guess let me ask your opinion of it first, because, you know, I look at this and there's so much that isn't there that I would have liked to have seen that if I were in charge, yeah, I would have gone and gone after. You know, in looking at do you think he did a thorough job?
Well, 444 pages is pretty good, plus footnotes. And 500 witnesses, 500 subpoenas and all of that. I think it was very thorough. And, you know, nobody gets an A++ for anything. Mueller, by the way, is an institutionalist. I knew from the beginning. You know, I wrote a year ago in an op-ed that was, you and I talked about this. It was H1 in op-ed news, because Mueller, even in the NFL, never went after punishing the NFL for sex abuse stuff. He just said, here in the future, you need to do the following. And so he's an institutionalist. He protects the institution. So that's why he indicted everybody around Trump, except for the family, apparently. He was scared of that. But everybody around him, his campaign managers, national security advisor, and so forth, and all the Russians, everybody around him, without indicting Trump himself. So I don't think he gets an A+. I think he gets a B+, but that's damn good for what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Let's move along to a couple other things I wanted to get to you with. You know, this healthcare stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm beyond frustrated and angry. You had Trump over the weekend again, you know, saying they're going to, you know, he was so proud of repealing the individual mandate, which was the Republican talking point,
right,
you know, for an entire generation. Now he's going to, you know, you're going to kill the rest of it. Curious your thoughts.
Okay. So we had an op-ed in Labor Press, and I know you're labor-based, and I'm very proud that I have a monthly column in Labor Press. Neil Capel is just a really fine guy who runs that operation, Teamsters. And so we pointed out that Richie Neal's hard health choices include Medicare for all and also jacking up, improving, and funding the exchanges, which is the key flaw in the Affordable Care Act, that because Trump has tried to emasculate them. If you jack up the exchanges, you still keep it in the whole thing pretty much in the private sector, but at least you're providing benefits to everybody. That's the deal. Medicare for all would be a big solution, but it's really getting some political backlash now. I see that in Vermont, Washington Post today said it costs so much that it can't succeed, and it's exploding in failure in Vermont. And you remember when Kamala Harris came out and said, end all the private insurance companies, and within a day she had to pull that back.
Right.
So politically, it's not feasible. We'll talk about Medicare for all, but it's like the Green New Deal. It's aspirational. We should go for it. But where we're going to go immediately, if we get a Democratic House, Senate, and president, we're going to jack up the exchanges and improve the Affordable Care Act so it really works. That's where the thing is going to go, and that's going to be a big improvement. And, of course, we got to protect Obamacare, and I hope that Roberts has enough sense to be the 5-4 and not throw the whole bill out. But what people are talking about, even Republicans inside the healthcare network, are they won't throw it out right away. They'll force it into a time lapse because they know people have healthcare, so there would have to be phases. So if they were to do that, say they do 5 years, and that'll bring it to where Congress will actually have to just extend and extend, sort of like they did with the doc fix with Medicare for years and years and years and years. You know, it never was in the law, but every year they'd fix it. So we may be stuck with something like that if the court does rule Obamacare out.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of this, this kind of uncertainty is unhealthy. This kind of uncertainty is dangerous. And again, it's one of these moments where, you know, if the Republicans have a better plan, bring it to us and let us find out. The problem is they don't have anything. They have no clue of what to do.
Well, I purposely asked Price. I hosted a newsmaker at the National Press Club. And, I was sort of subtly asking him so he would put his foot in his mouth. And you remember he was the first health secretary.
Yeah, Tom Price.
He had resigned for corruption. Yeah. But I asked him, what would you do about the 20 million people that have health care now that didn't? And what would you do about the people that have the pre-existing conditions and the kids and the prescription drugs that are covered? And you say, well, we'll have to cover that. Well, you're goddamn writing Obamacare over if that's what you're doing with your replacement.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
That's it.
It's nonsense to say, because what Obama did was a lot of homework to see what could pass and what would be important, and he got it all in there. So, and the way that he did it was what Republicans from Bob Dole on have asked for, which is do it through private insurance companies, and that was the compromise. Talk about Democrats compromising to create a bill. That was the big one. They didn't do a public option. They did it through private insurance companies.
Yeah, we'll see where this takes us. But, Bob, I appreciate the time, the thoughts. I'm sure this is going to continue, and we'd love to have you come back and share some more of your passion and some more of your intellect and your experience with us.
Well, Rick, there's nobody that packages it better than you for your listeners and makes it understandable. So I really, really appreciate it. And we look forward to having you on the floor again at the next Democratic convention.
Good stuff, Bob.
Literally on the floor.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks so much. Our good friend Bob Wiener. We'll get some links out of how you can check out his articles. Great work they do. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.